Psalm 111. Sure, greet them and congratulate them as well. Hey, Dean. See you're back there.
Thank you.
You want to say anything?
Yeah. By the way, my neighbor got so many he never missed one anyway.
some of the things I just wanted to mention are not in the bulletin here today. Is that the memorial service for Dave Convey will be in March, sometime in March. So the family is working on that. We'll give you the details when that takes place as we get to know them as well. And then thank you to all the people that showed up yesterday to take care of taking out the nativity. You know, there's still some poles out there because they're frozen in the ground. And but we got those all taken care of, and inside the sanctuary, all the tree is gone, lights are gone, the weeds are gone. Just thanks so much for everyone that came to put all those back in storage and hopefully remember how to do it this year when November comes or December comes. So just want to thank you for that. And do you know what Sunday it is today? Not that it really matters, but Epiphany Sunday. I'm still learning some of these things myself. Do you know what Epiphany is? There's something over here. Epiphany. What is Epiphany?
Light.
Huh?
Light.
What kind of?
Awakening.
Kind of like light. It's seeing something that you didn't know about before. Epiphany Sunday goes along with the Magi who followed the star, who came from the east looking for a king. And so that's something new, that they found out that there was a king that the prophets had talked about, that would be born in Bethlehem. And of course they stopped in Jerusalem first to talk to the big kahuna there, King Herod the Great. And he kind of goes like, oh yeah, by the way, if you find that king, come back and tell me, because I want to worship him too. Was he telling the truth?
No.
No, he wasn't. He was a little bit on the slick, tricky, dicky side. You don't even know who slick, dick, tricky is, do you? Anyway, it goes way back to my younger days. President Richard Nixon. So, did you realize that when he got caught up with the Watergate scandal. I was in the military down in Missouri, Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and we couldn't go anywhere off base when there was a transition of a president with the new one coming in, which, who followed Richard Nixon? Gerald Ford. So we couldn't go anywhere, but we had to stay on base until the new president was sworn in. And they go like, I'd just go out farming if I was there. But that's kind of the way it was back then. I do want to just remind you that what is in the bulletin is there for you to read. Congratulations to the Lake Hearts on a new granddaughter, Helen Annalie. I said that right? But you know, I forgot to ask the day. She was born in December, wasn't she?
Well, actually, no. She was born 1/1/23 at 2:23 in the morning.
What? She's a New Year's baby? Down in Texas?
Yes.
Wow. Were you there?
Yeah, well, not with her, but we were there with the other people.
Okay, yeah. But you're down there at the time.
Yes.
Well, congratulations. Wow, that's... I didn't realize that. The bullet was already printed by the time I found out anyway. So now we found out. She's a New Year's baby. Wow. Helen is her name. I'll let you read all the other announcements that are in there, but I do want you to know that some of the names in the prayer list that aren't there is Chuck and Donna Teelberg. They haven't been feeling good for quite some time, and Donna's feeling better, but Chuck isn't. And so just keep them in your prayers today. And we think, too, of Tammy Ebel. Mark, she's back home. She's the one that had to transplant the kidneys and the liver, but she is back home in Esterville. Not sure how things are going there, but none of the Peg is here or not. Peg's not here. None of the animals are here to find out how they're doing. And then Pat Garrels, of course, she's in the prayer list here of having her hip replaced this past week. She seemed to be doing okay. As long as she loves drugs now. The painkillers. Okay, but she doesn't want to get too addicted to them either. But he was both her and Dale. Dale had cataract surgery, removed one of those from his eyes at the same time that she's home recovering from her hip replacement. So with that, I just want to thank those of you that also provided poinsettias that were here in the church for Christmas. Thank you for that little splash of red that we had and your thoughtfulness and making the church a little bit more celebration, kind of it. The ambiance in here was different because of those poinsettias. But thank you for those of you that brought them and provided them for the church. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for everyone that is here. We thank you for Dean and Cheryl for 50 years of bliss. I mean blister. It's just good to be able to have them here with us and to be able to celebrate 50 years of marriage. And thank you for those that have come to be a part of that. And for the friends that they have. And Lord, we just thank you too for just the way that you have changed their lives because of Jesus. And that you continue to give them a hope and you help them through sometimes their bouts with sicknesses as well that they've had. And thank you that they could be here today. And we just also pray ahead of time, Lord, just asking to bless the meal that shall follow, the food that follows, and the fellowship as well. Because it's so much like Dean and Cheryl to have fellowship with everybody that they can think of. And so we also are mindful of Tammy Ebel, that she continues to regain strength and heal from the ordeal that she's been through in this past year. We're grateful that she's at home. And we just pray, Lord, that you continue to help her each and every day to be able to have the energy and the strength to continue on. And Lord, help her. I'm sure there's times where she gets discouraged, and maybe Mark does too. But may they keep their eyes on you, Lord Jesus, because you always have said that we should come to you whenever we have a need. And you're a God that provides and meets the needs that we have. And you do it in marvelous ways. And so we just pray for that. And I pray too, Lord, for Chuck Teelberg and Donna as they just want to get to be back to feeling better again and have the energy and the joy that they've also experienced along the way, and it's been tough sledding for them. So we just pray, Lord, that your presence would be with them in a very real way and allow them to regain the strength, Lord, especially Chuck, Lord. He just really needs a special touch from you here today. And just thank you for Donna, for the way that she is able to help him and to be there for him and to meet the needs that he himself sometimes is not able to meet himself along the way. And let's pray for the healing for Pat as she regains her strength from the surgery as well, and she can start walking around with less and less pain along the way, and help Dale to be able to shoot straight with his gun, even though he's got the cataract removed now, and get those little cottontails that come and eat up the bushes. And so we just give you praise today for a God that you are, and for everyone that has come to the doors today, that we look to you, Jesus, as the one that is here for us. You came for us, you died for us, and you rose again for us. And you're here for us along the way of this journey in life, however it may be. We are grateful for your presence and thankful for this day. We just put all these things in your hands, and everybody said,
amen.
And I'll sit down.
We all have scars. Whether physical, mental, spiritual. And what do we do with the scars that we have? The song that we share with in worship this morning talks about scars.
I can see now the hope in your eyes.
morning comes from Psalm 29, verses 1 through 4. It says this: Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful.
The voice of the Lord is majestic.
A song for the month. Living Hope. By Phil Wickham. Brian Johnson.
Thank you.
lunch here? Oh, she's a drummer. But you're not that far away, are you? If we could have this mic on. I want to interview a little bit here. How many times have you been to Tanzania?
This will be 14.
Wow.
14 times. And this one's a little different than before, right? Because you've got something to do with eyeglasses?
Yep. This will be where Next Life Foundation is partnering with Most Ministry out of Michigan, which their mission is to send short-term missionaries around the world. And they do many, many eyeglass ministries all over the world.
I just want you to know that, you know, Patty started this ministry in Tanzania how many years ago?
Well, 2016 we had our first service.
2016,
yeah.
All right. So, I mean, it's not something she's, I mean, it's really not something you really thought of yourself.
No. In 2012, I went on a mission trip, never thinking I would go to Africa.
Yeah.
But God had other plans.
So one, you know, one thing led to another where she became, saw a need that was prevalent over there in Tanzania, and kind of took off of helping women with sewing machines.
Yeah, we have a Christian vocational training center in a Muslim village, and we have tailoring, sewing, and carpentry right now. And we now have our own property, so yeah. Unbelievable what God has done.
And so I, you know, just we're talking a little bit about this earlier today before you came. You know, the biggest fear that you have is what?
I refuse to be fearful. It's a concern.
Okay. I stand corrected. Yeah. But all these people would be fearful, not just concerned.
Not necessarily.
But you talked about compassion fatigue.
Yes, I think that could be huge.
And tell us a little bit more about what do you mean by that, compassion fatigue?
Well, we'll have hundreds and hundreds of people coming to get eyeglasses, and there's been a two-year drought in Tanzania, so there's been a lot of hunger, and plus a lot of other issues. And they see a white face, they'll see eight other people will be joining me from Kansas, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and they have legitimate needs. I mean, they'll be hungry, which we're going to have rice and beans for everybody that comes. They have to pay school fees. They have people that are sick that don't have money to get treatment. They don't have government assistance there. And so they have real legitimate needs, and it's very wearing. They see the white face, and we are an endless pit of money, they think. So I think it's very, very hard to see all those legitimate needs and not be able to help everybody. So you have to just remember, you help who you can, but it's tough. Yeah, so.
Yeah. You know, people could join you, probably not this year, but.
Yeah.
You're going to go again next year.
Maybe in May again.
Or maybe in May,
yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you can go with her. I think it would be a great thing for anyone who's never been to a third world country. It's a whole different mentality that you find there. That would be good for you to experience, especially young people. You know, because you got good legs, you can walk, run, enjoy other young people that are there, but you'll come back the same.
And one of the gals on the team has already started a blog. Last Thursday, they met at in Ann Arbor at Most Ministries office and packed glasses and taught how we'll be checking eyes and that sort of thing. So tomorrow, Charlie's going to send out the blog site, and I brought some paper ones if anybody doesn't get that. So if you want to follow on the blog, what we'll be doing.
I just want to remind you too that, you know, electricity is not always available where she goes to. So the women who do the tailoring and the sewing, it's with the old pedal. The pedal sewing machine, you know, that you oftentimes saw maybe at your grandma's house or maybe your mom had at one time. that's what they use. And then for making furniture, it's not anything electric power. It's all elbow grease, and it's the old tools that no one wants anymore because we got back to power stuff, you know. So it's so different. But they cannot rely on electricity because they don't always have it.
We don't have electricity at our site. Last year in January, when I was there, the electric company brought us electricity, but the transformer's not big enough. So maybe this year when I'm there, they'll bring a big enough transformer. That's how things work over there.
I'll take the mic away from you, not because you talk too much, but we're going to pray for her. And before, we always would have people come up if you wanted to lay hands on her. Today we won't do that just because of time-wise, what we've got before us. But I'm going to pray for her, lay my hands on her. You can just join along with as we send her off to another country across the pond, we call it, across the Atlantic Ocean, into a strange place that's so different than here in Milford, Iowa, in Iowa itself. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Patty. Lord, we don't know all the details. We don't know the people, a lot of the people that are going with her. We just know her. And so you give us a face. And Lord, she doesn't even know what is ahead of her as well, or the team. And there's going to be a lot of needs there. And a lot of times people wake up just wanting to know, what are they going to eat today? And they have to go out and fetch it or find it somewhere. They need water, they have to go someplace to get water and then bring it back. And that's kind of the biggest thing on their minds every day. What are we going to eat? How am I going to provide for my family? And so I'm thankful, Lord, that even some of these people that are learning a new trade, they walk many miles to come to learn this, where they can be self-sufficient and charge a few dollars. Of course, it's not dollars, there would be something else, to be able to provide for their family. And I'm sure it's not just their family, it's for anybody in the community that they can help. That's what they'll do. And so, Lord, we just pray that you go ahead of them for the travels, for the traveling that they do, and we pray that nobody loses their luggage. We pray that everything will go according to American plans, that you can catch your flights, you can get the transportation that you need to get to the place where you need to be, and that there be enough eyeglasses to be used to help people, and the many more things that are going to be there that I'm sure Patty's going to be overwhelmed, as well as maybe everybody else that goes on this team. But Lord, help them not to see the things that they cannot do, but help them to see what they are able to do, even though it's limited. But we know that you're a God who is not limited. And we just pray that those who come, even if they find no help as they are in need of help, it still is an opportunity for them to hear about Jesus. And that you will provide, Lord, in your way and in your time, however that may be. We do pray for rain. That rain would come to this arid place, as the people depend so much on it. I don't know how they can survive without a crop. How do you feed a family if you have no means to feed them? And you have to wait until next year for the rains to come, hopefully. And then you have to wait for the seed to mature, to get what you want to get from it to feed the family or to sell it. Lord, it's so foreign to us here. But you know all about it. And so we just pray that your blessing would be upon Patty and see her through this. Teach her the things you want her to know about you. And as you bring her back, Lord, we pray that she does come back, that she can also share with us too how the things that you have done over there in that country, Tanzania. Thank you for a willing spirit to be used by you, Lord, however that may be. And thank you for her courage and her concerns that she has. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings on your head. I do remember that Dean Ramsey said, you know, we like to provide a lunch as long as a pastor doesn't get carried away and preach too long. So I know what that meant. Thanks for coming today. No, I won't preach. I invite you to stand as we hear where God's word comes from here this morning. It's from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Read in Jesus' name. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Begin. Lord, use these words today. Use this event where we would have an epiphany, which means we leave differently than we came because we learned something. We have an aha moment of seeing you, Lord, in a way that we've never seen you before. And so we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You have heard this, maybe have said this yourself. It's too good to be true. There's got to be a catch. When it comes to knowing Jesus Christ, there is no catch. And he is as good and as true as the Bible says that he is. Some say, no, it cannot be that easy. You have to do something or give something in order to get something. And so when it comes to following the law of God, that's true. Because the law is always telling you and me to do something. But when it comes to the gospel says that God has done it all for you. It's done. You can't do anything more. Because God did it all for you. Because we're saved by grace through faith, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us. We're saved by grace through faith. And that's why the gospel means good news. That's good news. There's nothing that you and I can do other than to believe and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. He's done it all for us. And so salvation is a gift that comes to us from God, and God will give it to anyone who will receive it. Now, we just got past Christmas, right? Did any of you not open up a gift or turn a gift down that was given to you or had your name on it? Did any of you go like, no, I'm not going to open this? Or you can take this back. I don't care what's in it. It's yours. I don't want it. Did anybody do that? Good. Because, you know, it'd be very insulting, wouldn't it, to the person who went out and thought of you and bought this gift for you and wanted you to open it up and to see your face and just wanted to bless you. But, you know, you don't have to do a thing and still reject God's gift of salvation. By doing nothing, you're just kind of telling God, keep it. I don't need it. I'll do it myself. That's kind of the American way. I can do it myself. I call it a cowboy spirit. Pride. We don't need what God has done for us. So what is so unbelievable in our text today? What would make us say unbelievable? And yet, when we say unbelievable, it's true. What do we see in our text that would make us say this? What is too good to be true in our text today that takes us to Jesus when he's baptized in the Jordan River? Because this is always the starting point that we look at where Jesus' ministry begins. And he's baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. The Jordan River runs along the east side of the country of Israel. And on the other side of the Jordan River is what country?
Jordan.
Very good. Jordan. And so it gives us a little bit of an idea where John the Baptist goes to baptize people that would come to him. And remember, the Pharisees and the Sadducees would also go out there. It's kind of an arid place. It's a long ways from Jerusalem if you're going to walk it. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders, would go out there, but they would not want John the Baptist to baptize them. They were just there to observe. And they were curious. And John the Baptist was kind of a strange guy. He dressed different. He just did things different. Of anyone in that day. But it goes along to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah said 600-700 years prior, that there is one who will come crying in the wilderness, crying out in the desert. And he baptized people who came out there to him. But John would say, I baptize with water. But there's one who is coming, whose thongs of his sandals I cannot even untie. But he will come and he will baptize you with the Spirit. So Jesus' baptism will be even greater than John the Baptist. It is John the Baptist who also says, when there's a bunch of people around at the time, they heard him say this, look, or behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And of course, he is referring to his cousin, Jesus. Jesus shows up. The time has come. The time is right for Jesus to begin his ministry. And John the Baptist says it's Jesus, that he cannot untie his sandals. But he calls him the Lamb of God, which is interesting. The Lamb of God. You go way back to the Passover in the Old Testament. You find how important the Lamb is. What happened at the Passover? You can talk back.
Lamb was slain.
Yeah. Was it just any lamb you go up and hit? Holler. It had to be a special lamb, one without defect, one that it couldn't have a different color wool on it. It had to be pretty much a white wool, a pure kind of a lamb. It could not have had a broken leg or it could have been sick. It couldn't have a disease. It had to be a perfect lamb that then would be slain and the blood would be gathered. And they would brush it on the door frames of the house with the hyssop branch. And you know, you look at it, you know, it goes down, and then it also goes across. You put the two together, what do you get? The cross. Way back in the Old Testament, which is pointing us to the cross, to Jesus Christ who will come. But those who went inside the house that had the blood of the Lamb on the door frame, what happened to them?
Yeah,
the angel of death passed over that home, and everyone inside was saved. Everyone lived. Those that did not have that done, the firstborn died. And that's where Pharaoh, that was the last plague, that Pharaoh finally gave in. How many plagues were there? 10. The last one was this one, Passover. And this is the one that really broke the camel's back for Pharaoh. And he said to Moses, take your people and be get out. You can go. Because he lost his firstborn son. But it wasn't just the sons, also the cattle. It was the livestock. Firstborn of them also died. So it affected the economy at that time as well. So we find what Jesus says to John the Baptist. He says it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. That's why Jesus came. To fulfill what God has said before. God is concerned about your righteousness. How righteous are you? Righteousness means that I am right with God. I can stand before God and I know that my sins are forgiven. Can that be said about you today? Can that be said about you today? Jesus' heart is one to fulfill what God has said in the beginning. And so here's the epiphany that takes place. Something that happens, and maybe you've never seen it here before, but we see that the triune God is revealed here in the baptism. How is that? You got Jesus in the water. You got the heavens that kind of opened up and what looked like a dove. Not sure what it really was, but it just kind of looked like a dove that came down and settled on Jesus. And then all of a sudden you hear a voice. This is my son, whom I'm well pleased with. I love him. So you've got three, so you have the voice of God, you've got the Holy Spirit like a dove, and you've got Jesus there physically. All these things are happening at the same time. They're there. God is a triune God. It's not the only place where we see this. We see this at the Transfiguration. A voice of God is there as well. And the people don't know what's going on. The Transfiguration, it's Peter, James, and John who were there, who were able to witness that. So the epiphany here is the baptism. The things that went on, what the people were able to see, what they're able to hear at the river of the Jordan River. It is talked about in all the other gospel writers. Not just Matthew, but you can read about it in Mark, Luke, and John. They all talk about it. So John the Baptist's baptism is not the same as the baptism of Jesus. John's was for repentance. Jesus is for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus is greater than John the Baptist according to his own testimony that we find in John chapter 1, verses 32 to 33. So just to conclude, just want to say a couple of things here. That with Jesus there in the Jordan River being baptized, it's unbelievable what takes place there. What sounds unbelievable about Jesus is true. Jesus is the amazing grace that came looking for us, whereby we can say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Can you say that? Honestly today. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus Christ is able to make you a different person. I don't know which class reunion I was at. Must have been my 10th, 5th of the 10th. This year it's my 50th, which means I'm probably going back to be a part of that. There's some of my classmates I have not seen since we graduated. But it was either the 5th or the 10th class reunion that I attended. But I heard this from many of my classmates. They said, Tim, out of everybody in the class, you are different in the way you were in high school. I go, well, what do you mean? They go, well, you're just not the same Tim. And I had the opportunity to say to them, it's because of Jesus Christ. Because of him. I know I'm not the same God. And I knew what I had was real because a lot of my classmates didn't want to have anything to do with me after that. They dropped me like a hot potato. And I'm going like, what's going on here? I still look at them as friends. I still want to be involved with them. But they don't want nothing to do with me. Because what they were doing, I didn't want to do anymore. And I said, Jesus changed my life. He cleaned me up. He forgave me of my sin. And I know he'll do that for you too. If you just come and trust in him. Well, they would listen. They say, like, no, it's not for me. And so I just ask you today, are you different because of Jesus? Because he will make you different. He will make you more like him. And that scares people. It really shouldn't. But it does. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the power that you have and those precious words of just saying, I forgive you because I love you. Lord, I need to be forgiven every day. We all do. Give us hearts, Lord, that will seek you. Change our hearts from stone to make it hearts of flesh. Where we have compassion and patience with others where before we didn't have that. Lord, make us more like you. Like the song we sang earlier today with the scars. We all have scars, some that can be seen, some that cannot be seen. But the scars that have been given to us, where we see the faithfulness in your hand at work in our lives, where you change us. We come to love you in ways we never thought was possible. So thank you, Lord, for being here this morning, and thank you for speaking to the hearts of everyone that is here today, that Jesus is more than just someone we come to hear about on Sunday morning, but he is a person who wants to be invited into our hearts, that we may have a relationship with him. Each and every day. Lord, help us not to be religious people, but help us to have a living and vital faith that we live it because we want to, not because we have to. We live it because Jesus lives in us. In your name we pray. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Invite you to stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And you may be seated. Receive the benediction today. Lord, thank you that your face shines upon us here today. You want to bless us. You want us to see that you care about us, that we would come to you by faith. And Lord, may that be so. That you are a God who's always got his arms open, welcoming each and every one of us to come. You never force it. You just say, come. And you leave that up to us. May the Holy Spirit grant us the power to be able to come to you, to believe in you, to trust in you, to walk with you from day to day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.